Thank you for tuning in to Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage, where a salvation experience makes you a member. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. For more information about Heritage Church of God, contact our church office at 419-861-9520 or visit us at our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. Now, let's listen to a message inspired by God.
I've been in church all my life, and I've had so much to learn, church. I've had so much to learn about a lost world and how to reach out and how they don't need the judgmental attitude and how we need to love, how Jesus died on a cross because he loved us, he loved us, he loved us. And if there's a drawing into this place right here tonight, if there's a drawing, it has to be from love. And if that love, God sent his son, he done it all, and now he's using you and I. Isn't that just tremendous? I'm going to talk tonight. We're going to go to John, and I will be jumping around like I usually do. And we're going to be in chapter 3, but I sat down today, and John the Apostle wrote the book of John. It was late in his life, and Jerry come in, and I was looking out the window, and he said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm seeing my sermon. I'm seeing it." John, I think, was sitting in a place on a stool somewhere, and maybe with a long beard and long hair, because that's what they had back then. And I think maybe he sat back and was hearing other teachers teach about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, "I was with him. I was with him. I got a walk with him, the apostle." I think he said, "I took care of his mother." And I think John wanted people to get it right when they told it. Wanted people to say it right, that was teaching and that was preaching. And I think John, you know, he just maybe said, "Maybe somebody better get me some kind of a pen and a light." I think his eyes wasn't very good anymore. I can't see without my glasses. And Jerry's having a little trouble with one of his ears. He's not admitting it yet, so we're not telling anybody. And I fell the other day at my daughter's house. Didn't fall. I just threw my coffee up in the air so I wouldn't fall. And she thinks I ought to get them black shoes with the big heels and the tie up. Evidently, some of them's wearing them, and that's not funny. You know, I can't get my leg up that far. But I still like these that make me look a little younger, I think. But I think John was at an age, but he said, "I seen and I experienced the real Jesus, the Jesus that came to earth in the flesh, that God that come out of the heavenlies." And he said, I don't think he could hardly sit still sometimes at what was being told. I also thought we have two philosophies that meet in chapter 3 of John. We have two beliefs. And they both believe in God, but they believe different. We have a man that came, the Bible says, in the night to see Jesus because he had heard and seen his miracles. It's hard when someone's doing miracles in front of you to say, "Maybe that's not real." It's hard to see someone get up and walk after someone that called himself the Son of God laid hands on him and he got up and walked away to say, "I don't know if I believe in that." It's hard to see a hand that was healed when Jesus touched somebody and say, "I'm not sure. I'm of the Pharisees and I am of the Sanhedrins and I have taught all my life, but I don't know if I believe in this man Jesus. Oh, I believe he was from God. I believe that he, you know, is a good man. But he manifest himself out of heaven and became flesh. I can't hardly get a hold of that." That's what Nicodemus said. He came in the night when Jesus was resting, but I think Nicodemus and his philosophy couldn't sleep. He came in the night, and Jesus was available. Michael, I seen it's Michael, Pastor Michael. I believe that one of our problems today, and I haven't discussed this with Bob, we are no longer available for each other. We're just too busy. We don't have a phone anymore that rings at home because it could disturb us. We don't want to go in the middle of the night anymore because we could probably do that in the morning. I believe that Jesus, the Son of God, that manifest himself out of the heavens, church, and became flesh, he was available anytime anybody called or needed him. Then, I put it on the pastors, but are you available? Are you available to listen to someone that just needs to talk? Are you available to that person that it just seems like they've always got something going on? Are you available with so much love that they can feel all that Jesus was? Nicodemus was a prominent, powerful teacher of the Sanhedrins. He was a Pharisee. He knew how to dress. He knew how to act. He was legalistic. He knew the rules, and you didn't bend the rules. It reminded me a little bit of me. I didn't know I was like this, Michael. I just didn't know it. But when you're brought up in church, you know the rules. And I knew the rules. But I didn't have the love of God that God wanted me to have for other people. And I remember having a neighbor, and I don't know whether I've told this church. I've been preaching a lot lately. I don't know whether I told you or not, but she didn't have anything. And I seemed to have everything. And it was put right here where I lived. And I had to see it every day where I could have been facing some of the things that she had faced. And it gave me a love for people that I loved people. I've always loved people. But I'm talking about loving people. I'm talking about going the second and third mile. Really loving people. This man called Nicodemus, He was traditional. He had his tradition down just so. I had that too. I was brought up in church. I knew how to act. We have taught our kids how to act. Tammy's here tonight. Just wave at him. That's my oldest. Tara's our youngest. We've got three grandkids here. And Alan is going to marry into our family for long. And she's something else. We're proud of her. She's making a man out of Jeremy. I mean that good. You know, but I just wonder tonight, you know, we sat on the front row and sang for 17, 19 years. And if my kids got out of line, I knew how to pinch down below. Come on, church. And if they served us something that we didn't like to eat, I knew how to set my jaw and shake my head, and them little girls would say, yes, we'll take some. And they didn't say they didn't like it till they got in the van. We knew how to act in church. But I wonder, as church people, if we know how to act beyond the steeple with the woman that is going down, that felt like she was being judged everywhere she went. She wasn't brought up like some of you and I. She wasn't brought up knowing the love of God, knowing about what we should do, going to church all the time. She wasn't brought up like that. And I wonder if the world that is lost can see the love of Jesus in our hearts. Or are we such a judgmental, legalistic ritual about us that no one can get very close? I just wondered that. Jesus was the Son of God. The Bible says he was God manifest in the flesh. They saw his miracles. the man said, "Oh, I know the Messiah's coming. We agree with that. And I wonder, Michael, if he would come back tonight, would I realize his presence within my life? Have I sat for days and read the Bible and got sermons ready and the phone rings and someone else calls me to preach and it just makes me cry? I've got preaching on the inside of me that just wants to come out, church. I told the kids when I get too old, tell me I'm too old and take me home. Don't let me preach no more and be silly up front or do something funny." And I had a roller in my hair coming here, and Tara said, "Mom, you might not get to preach tonight. You got to take your hair down." They're such fun kids. But I mean that. I mean that. And I wonder if I, you know, the miracles, he saw the miracles, he knew the Messiah was coming. And Jesus said, he saw the man come at night. I thought of this too as I was staring out the window. The man came at night so that he could see Jesus. It doesn't say why he come at night. Maybe he was too busy during the day. Maybe he didn't want anybody else to see him. But what he didn't know, and what I think we sit here and we look like we know, but we don't know, is Jesus is the light of the world. And the minute that he seen Nicodemus, he saw on the inside of him. It didn't matter if it was dark, church. Jesus was the light of the world. He didn't have to have somebody explain. Nicodemus didn't say, and you know, I read, this wasn't really my scripture, but I'm always kind of jumping around like this. In chapter, 2, verse 23, it says, "While they were in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many people saw the miraculous signs." Now, I'm telling you, Michael, if we had a healing here tonight, someone was crippled, we laid hands on them, and they went out dancing, you know, went out praising the Lord, it would get to that big church. Jeremy thought that was Bob's church, and did he get excited? I read coming down, it said, doesn't it say the church on Strayer Road?
The church on Strayer.
Yeah. I thought Bob ought to put up a church where the other church on Strayer Road, you know. I thought of that myself. But, you know, he said, I come by there and thought, is that it, you know? They saw the miraculous signs that he was doing and believed in his name, Jesus. They believed in his name, Jesus. And when you can't say anything else and you are in the middle of a storm or you're in the middle of somewhere, just start taking up that name and say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Your pastor said he was at the hospital today with two people that are at death's door. There's things going on that if God doesn't miraculously heal, you know, just what do we say, said Pastor. I said, sometimes we don't say anything. We just stand and we just touch. But we say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. If that woman that you were singing about knew the power in the name of Jesus, she would say it. She would say it even if she didn't know what was going to happen with that power. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all men. Jesus knows everything. And he did not need man's testimony about man. He said, I don't need you to tell me about you. I already know about you. That's what he said. I don't need you to explain why you did. As a pastor, you get a lot of explaining going on sometimes. He said, I don't need that. And then this is what he said. He did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in a man. He knows what's in you tonight. He knows why you're here. He knows why you came. You know, I didn't call Jeremy till last night. I should have called him. Jeremy told me a couple days ago, call Jeremy, you know, call Jeremy. And you know what he said to his mom? She just told me this. Are we going to eat? Well, that was good. He's a grandkid. Michael wants to go with us. Are we going to eat? God knows. He just knows. You know, and so I was thinking of where the rub come in then. Here we have two men. We have one man that says, I know God, I love God, and I know the Messiah is coming. And we are waiting on him, and we are doing everything exactly right because I've studied it. And here we have a man that claims to be God. His name is Jesus. He's got the miracles going, and he is of a different world. He's of a different place. He didn't come doing the rituals. He didn't come doing the legalistic things, although he set some of them in order. But he came with grace, which grace said to give you something that you don't deserve, because he came for man and woman's sin. Oh, church, I was at a funeral a week ago Saturday. The person that was laying there had given her heart to Jesus. I never experienced so many lost people, good people, people that I've grown up with, people that I love, people that don't darken the door of a church. Will you say, you know, I can't go to heaven without church? Well, why would you want to? Now take that in. Why would you want to? I wonder where the rub, where these two men came together. And he said, I know, and this one says, I am. But I know, but I am. I think we so center in. I was thinking of trees, and I was thinking of rivers. And I read about a tree, Zach, in California, a redwood tree, that they take a car, in the trunk of it, they drive a car through the trunk of the tree. Wouldn't you like to see that? That's, wave at him, that's my Rooney right there. That's Rooney. He's a thinker all the time. And then I read about a river, you know, or I was watching, and how the little creek will go into a river and the river will go into the sea. And it's so fantastic how it'll go around. That's the earthly things that we get excited about. Jesus said to the man, you look at the trees that are here. He said, let me tell you about the tree of life. And unless you've had something breathe on the inside of you, you will never know about the tree of life. I mean someone that is breathed on the inside of you. I'm not talking about church. I'm not talking about a church book. I'm not talking about standing up and sitting down. I'm not talking about looking at a cross. I'm not talking about anything, but having the tree of life is bigger than some car driving through the trunk of a redwood tree. I'm talking about a river that will connect with you and begin to flow on the inside of you when you think you cannot go through what you're going through, or when you think everybody has just, there's a river that you can tap into, that the Bible says there is a river that will never run dry. I have a river that is flowing on the inside of me, and it will not dry up because Jesus Christ said it wouldn't. There are cities, church. There are cities and countries. Jerry especially likes Atlanta as we go to Florida. It's almost his favorite. He goes into prayer, whether to go through it or around it. I think he thinks of going to heaven before he gets there. I mean, it's uptight. If I even breathe or say, you know, could we get a sandwich? We're not through Atlanta yet. And I don't dare mention them all. That could be divorce before Atlanta. You got to get through Atlanta. There are cities that are something to see. There are countries. I have a cousin that's come home from Japan, and he told me some of the things that went on over there when I talked about on the phone. He was saying to this man, I'm not talking about the cities of this world. I'm not talking about the countries of this world. I'm talking about the city that's on a hill, the holy city of God that I want you to catch hold of, that if I breathe in you and give you living water on the inside, you will connect with a city where we're going. Somewhere there's a city, there's a country that is made just for you and me, those of us that have given your life to Christ and are living for Christ. That excited me when I was all by myself today. Then I was thinking about, you know, the homes, the really, really nice homes. My other grandson bought a car, and he said, I come to a real nice area of town and bought this. He wanted a old, nice car. and it's taken forever for him to get an old, nice car. And they come up right here. This housing area over here, said, real nice area. And I said, well, that might be right there by Bob's. I'm not sure. And he brought home this car, and he's so excited. You know, I watch this TV where they decorate homes, and they buy homes, and they have 5 bedrooms, and they have 5 bathrooms. And this young couple, Jeremy, like you and Ellen, you know, they walk into this home to look at it, and they have a man cave, and they have a woman place. And she walks in, and I watch this, and she'll say, they'll have this countertop. I mean, it's just beautiful. And she'll say, I don't like that color. If we buy it, I'll have to change it. Come on, son, if you watch it too. You'll have to paint the room. I remember not having enough toilet paper for the one toilet that we had when we got married. I remember running to the store. Now, I'm being truthful with you. I mean, I was glad we had a countertop. I was glad we had a pan. And the first time I burnt my chicken, it was the pan's fault. You should have seen the pan that I had. It was terrible. And these houses are so fantastic. And all these things that we want. Universities. I was with my friend, my real good friend in high school, 5 years, or 27 years. We hadn't been together in 27 years. She was really a good friend of mine. And I was just so tickled to see her. And as we talked, she said, I said, you know, what all have you done? And she said, what do you want to know all? And I said, well, maybe. I don't know. Maybe. She said, well, I have 5 degrees. I said, you do? She said, I was a school teacher. And then she said, I taught in the college. And she said, I am a psychologist. And I'm thinking, my, oh, my, oh, my. And she said, Carol, are you still in the pulpit? I don't know what she called it, but I said, yes. And she said, I remember as little girls, her mother was in a bad wreck, and she lost her sister. I remember as a little girl sitting in the car at the hospital, and you prayed. I don't think I knew how to pray, church. But I knew that it was going to take somebody bigger than her and I to pull her mom through that. And I knew it had to be real. There wasn't no preacher with us. My mom and dad wasn't there. We were just there by ourselves. And she said, Carol Ann, I remember you had faith. Do you have faith today like that? And I said, I hope I have more faith than what I've ever had. I hope I have more grace about me than I had when I was a kid. And I hope that I love bigger than I've ever loved before. That's what I said. Church, here's this person with the house. And I have a nice home. I'm not putting any of that down. I don't want you to catch it like this. Here was this person with a nice home. You know, here was this person with the university and the college and all the degrees. And Jesus says, listen to this. Get your BA degree out of the heavenlies, your born again degree, he said to Nicodemus. Make sure you are born of the Spirit, of the heavenlies, born from above. Make sure before your degrees come and your houses are bought and your cities you want to see and your places that you want to go, make sure this is in order. We were at camp meeting, and I think we'd been there when we come up here too, but we had been at camp meeting, and one of our big superintendents in the Nazarene church got up and said, he said, I've got different degrees from different places, and I know he did because Terry, he was good, wasn't he? And he said, the only one that I have on the wall is where Christ ordained me into the ministry, because it's the one that matters the most to me. Oh, listen to me, church. This old world's not our home. We're just passing through. This isn't it. Don't claim it and put everything right here. John 3:3 says this, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again, born of the Spirit of God. This is what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus. You have to be born again. He didn't know about that. He knew about church. He knew when to sing. He knew when to stand up. He knew when to sit down. He knew when to go. He knew when to put his robe on. He knew when to take his robe off. He knew when to read his prayer. He knew when to... But Jesus said, there is something that you are lacking. You have to be born. 5 says, I'll tell you the truth. No one will enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit, because flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You must, he said in verse 7. He didn't say probably. He didn't say maybe. He didn't say, I wish you would. He said, you must be born of the Spirit. That's hard on me and my family, too. Not just you and your family. He said here, you know, the necessity. Then he said, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You can hear its sound. Was last night when we woke up with thunder? Yep. And you can't tell where it come from. Now, I get up and look out the window and try to see where it's coming from. I'm of that age. I'm roaming around anyway. And where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Because God's Spirit draws you to an altar. God's Spirit fills you with the water we're talking about. God's Spirit will lead you and make the man and woman out of you that he wants you to be. He doesn't want you to just be a church person. Some church people, they're hard to be around, Michael. I've been church all my life. But some church people are genuinely born of the Spirit. That's what he said. You know, a necessity then. We have a necessity of being born in the Spirit. It's not baptism. There's nowhere you can find in the Bible that you're baptized before you're saved. It isn't there. It isn't there. You read it. Church attendance or membership, that's man-made. We've done that ourselves. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just telling you it's not of the Bible. It's not biblical. Why wouldn't you want to come to church if you love the Lord? Why wouldn't you want to be baptized? Because Jesus said that's one of the ordinances that we have after you're saved. It's not tithing. Don't tell Bob I said this. It's not tithing. But why, if you love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might, wouldn't you want to give to him? It's just clicking. It just makes sense. We also are, it's a necessity to be born of the Spirit, but it's also a necessity to take on God's nature. That's what I'm finding that's tough today. It's tough to change our lives because we've accepted Christ into our hearts. We want to be who we are, and everybody's going to heaven. Church, that's not true. It's just not true. It's not the Word of God. If you read it, you will know that it isn't. To be a citizen of the holy city of God, a child of God, it takes God's blood on the cross that he died for you and I. We have to accept it, and we confess that we are sinners, and we forsake our sins. That's tough. We're living in a world that confess and we believe, but we are going to live, church, exactly the way we want to, and hope by some chance we fall into heaven. Well, I don't like her preaching. Well, you don't have to. It's the Word of God, church. I'd like to change it sometimes. We take on the nature of God. It's not reforming. What does it say there in verse 8? So it is with everyone that is born of the Spirit. What does it say in the 10 and 11 and 12? You're an Israel teacher, he said to the man, Jesus said, and you don't understand the things that I'm telling you. I tell you the truth. We speak what we know. He said, we speak what we know. And if you don't know the word, you don't know. You don't know. If you've only listened to a preacher, what if he's told you wrong and your Bible is sitting somewhere and it's dusty? You don't know. You need to know. That's what he said. We speak of what we know and we testify of what we've seen. But still, you people do not accept the testimony. You need to experience church. That's what he was saying to Nicodemus. You need to experience me. You need to experience God in the flesh. And you will remember that experience. But he said, I go to church. I have a testimony. He said, you've got to experience the water and the blood and why I come to die for your sins. He wouldn't have needed to come, church, if nothing of this had to happen. So we find, and in coming to an end, it's not reformation, turning over a new leaf. I think tomorrow I'll be good. You know you can't be good on your own. You'll be good for a little while. But without God living on the inside of you, you will continue to do the things that you just never have wanted to do, and you just keep doing them. It's not a profession of religion. I don't care what you are. I don't care what faith you belong to. There's an emptiness unless you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's empty. I don't care what the name is on the church. It's also not a culture that we were born into. If it was culture, me and Bob would neither one have to be saved. You'd already have saved preachers up in front of you. My kids wouldn't have had to went to an altar at all. When we used to sing, what I remember is some of the first people at the altar was our girls. They were just young. They were just young. And they realized, and I didn't know it would happen, but if they took it to God, that God could take care of a whole lot of things, just as little kids. But it's not a culture that saves us. Bob and I's grandpa was a preacher, and we've stood over his grave and cried. Boy, did we love him. Sat with his shoes off out under a big weeping willow tree. Maybe Bob's told you, with his Bible right beside him. A wore-out Bible that he had read. But that didn't make me saved. You can be sitting in a garage and claim you're a car, but you're not. And you can be sitting in a church and claim you're a Christian. And when God puts a light on it, what's he going to see? What's he going to see? Our surroundings aren't good enough. I'm going to come down front, Michael. And you can get ready to sing something. I'm going to tell a story that Zach will really like it. I like for Zach to like my preaching. And he went home the other day and told his mom he liked my preaching. Give me five, buddy. You can take a pig and give him a bath. You can wrap a big red ribbon around their neck. You can put perfume all over them and take them into your living room. Now listen up. Some knows where I'm coming from. But if you leave the back door open, that pig will slip out and find the first mud hole and wallow in it. Because he has not been changed. He's still a pig. Now, I was going to dress that up and make it more, classy or something. But that's right where it is. That's right where it is. A pig's a pig. And you aren't fooling anybody by the way you live. Nicodemus came. He was a good man. He was right with the world. But he wasn't right with an almighty God that was real. God so loved the world, he said, I gave my only begotten Son, and you have to accept him in your heart and turn from your sins and forsake them one by one. Does it happen all at once, preacher? No, sometimes it takes a long time. Sometimes we're not aware of stuff until the light is put on something. If somebody would have told me in my old age the things that I don't do, I mean, I used to do them and I don't do them now, I'd have thought, oh man, I've went crazy. I have kind of went crazy. I went crazy over the Lord. I want these grandkids to know Jesus. I don't have any rule over them. I don't call you morning, noon, and night, do I, Jeremy? I don't call Zach. I think about him almost morning, noon, and night. We live in a world that gradually will get a hold of us, church, if it can. Make sure you're... I found myself, Lord, a lot like Nicodemus, judging people and thinking they ought to be like me. And then, Lord, one day, you shone a light on the inside of me. Lord, one day I knew that I wanted a good marriage, not just any kind. Lord, I wanted to be a good mother to my kids, not just any mother. And little did I know, Lord, that one day you would call me to preach your riches, to tell other people. I don't feel good enough to do that. But I know that you are good enough in my life. Talk to our hearts tonight. Bring us back and let us invite that person that's going down. Let us invite, Lord, that one that just looks like there's no hope at all for. Lord, let us reach out beyond these walls and be the church that God has on this road, in this place. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
You've been listening to Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where a salvation experience makes you a member. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. For more information about Heritage Church of God, or you'd like to receive a copy of today's message, please contact our church office at 419-861-9520 or visit us on our website, HeritageChurchOfGod.org. This has been a production of Heritage Outreach Ministries.